Yo, let's go. Today is November 30th, guys. Welcome to Simply Bitcoin. We are your number one source for the peaceful Bitcoin revolution. We cover breaking news, culture, and memetic warfare. And we will be your guide through the separation of money and state. As you guys can tell, it's your boy Opti. I am handling today's show because Nico is doing an NBC interview currently, or at least in like 5-10 minutes. So Nico is hitting the main stage, bro. He's left us little people behind. Nah, I'm just joking. He's got some other interview stuff going on, but he will be back tomorrow. We will be hosting a Simply Bitcoin IRL tonight, guys. So definitely check that out. And but of course, I am not alone here today, guys. We have our boy Rustin. You guys know Rustin. He does the Simply Bitcoin wake up call. He's doing our clips on YouTube. So today we are doing a Simply Bitcoin takeover by Opti and Rustin. But hey, Rustin, what are we covering in the news today, bro?
Well, those douchebags down at the ECB decided to put out a little report. So we're going to get at that and then completely put a foot down their throat with the big news out of Brazil, basically making Bitcoin legal as a method of payment, but not quite legal tender. And we'll get into all of that. Some big stuff. Super excited. Going to be a lot of fun.
Let's go, bro. I am hyped for this. And guys, in the culture, I'm going to cover Corey Clipson's race to avoid the war. I'm going to read it for you guys because I think his words are stronger than mine would be. And then we'll definitely jump on top of that. But without further ado, guys, let's get into the numbers.
The Bitcoin numbers.
Brought to you by Noddle. At this point, you should be running your own Bitcoin node. If you don't use your own Bitcoin node, you're trusting someone else's. Run your own version of Bitcoin Core, the Lightning Network, Whirlpool, and Dojo, all from the comfort of your own home. And if you're a digital nomad, you have absolutely no excuse because now you can run a Noddle through a virtual private server. Visit noddle.eu today.
Let's go, boys and girls. So we are here. Let's do this. Let me zoom in a little bit over here so you can catch the numbers. All right, guys, you already know we are at block height 765,339, and the current Moscow time, aka the sats per dollar, is 5,940, which means the Bitcoin price is currently, again, according to Clark Moody's dashboard, around 16,832. I know you guys saw that price pumping yesterday. Are we out of the woods yet? Who knows? Continue to stack, guys. Cheap sats still on the board. Anyways, the percentage issued of Bitcoin is at 91.52%. All that Bitcoin is almost out there, guys. You better be stacking them sats, guys. And of course, man, the market capitalization, it's at $323 billion, guys. Remember when we were close to a trillion? Those were some good times. Those were some good times. And then the realized monetary inflation, guys, as Nico always says, it's taking fiat currencies to school at 1.77%. And it will even get lower in 2 years, roughly 2 years. And I added some new metrics, guys. I don't remember the ones that Nico always has on here, but this one that I really like, Bitcoin versus the gold market cap, only 2.63%, guys. We have so much room to grow in the Bitcoin space. It is absolutely amazing. I know you guys out there still think that you aren't early, but hey, I believe we still are. And the current Lightning capacity, total capacity is 5,109.19 Bitcoin. And that means that the value is roughly around 85.9 million, guys. And I added this one because we haven't really been talking about this too much. But the hash rate over the last 90 days is at 249.2 exahashes. Amazing. Absolutely amazing. So I do have a video for you guys on the numbers. So It's really about what's been going on lately in the BlockFi, you know, all these contagion, all this stuff happening in the news. It's been a rough year for all us Bitcoiners because we've been telling you guys, I told you so, but no one likes to listen to us Bitcoiners, except now, as you can tell, as I started today's show, you know, Bitcoiners are starting to make the legacy media rounds, and that Bitcoin signal cannot be stopped. It is going everywhere on mainstream legacy media. Again, I say it every single day, I believe. It is our meme world and everyone else is just living in it. So continue to spread that Bitcoin signal. And I got this video. I saw this on Twitter. Nick Bhatia went on and just completely decimated the whole BlockFi FUD. So let me just play this video, and then Rustin and I will talk about some of the points and things that we've been saying on this show for a long time. So let me play this video for you.
Take us inside the collapse of BlockFi. What exactly happened here, and perhaps most critically, why?
Well, a lot of the contagion that's happened this year in the cryptocurrency industry comes from the idea that exchanges were offering yield when there was really no yield being extracted from the platform itself. So you have fractional reserve lending taking place, especially at companies like BlockFi. And in the end, the liabilities extended beyond where the assets were. When you had any lapse in confidence, you see a bank run, and the bank run led to bankruptcy, because in cryptocurrency, there is no lender of last resort. And that's basically what's happened here over the last couple months.
And I just think it's fascinating that BlockFi's top 10 creditors are owed something around $1.2 billion. How much of that money are they likely to get back, in your view, Nick?
Well, it's probably a small fraction of that. And we look at what happened in FTX, we see that up to $8 billion of customer funds are likely to never be seen again. And that is because the sister hedge fund of FTX, Alameda Research, likely gambled all those deposits away. And so once that happened, you see the unfolding of, you know, all the calamities across the cryptocurrency industry. BlockFi was just another victim of overextending itself to this FTX exchange, which people had a lot of trust in. But in the end, when we really dug into the details, it was a Ponzi scheme.
Yeah, and look, the tide went out and you could see who was swimming naked, as the saying goes. And what we're seeing across the sector right now is the FTX Alameda collapse continuing to have a contagion and a ripple effect. If you look at what happens next here, just in your view, Nick, how do we restore trust in these operators and credibility in these markets when it seems as if there is so little of that trust and credibility to go around?
Well, let me bring you back really quickly to 2017. We had a massive bubble in initial coin offerings. This is the ICO bubble that really took the cryptocurrency industry down for a couple years after it collapsed in 2018. So we're seeing a repeat of this cycle in which a lot of companies come into the crypto industry and they think that they can reinvent the wheel. And what we see is a failure time and time again. So we have this another cycle in crypto and a bunch of companies going bankrupt in 2022. I think that this is just another cycle for Bitcoin in which a lot of the companies that really were extending themselves beyond their ability and going after returns that weren't necessarily part of what the industry was built for, which is transactions, store of value. If you go beyond that and you try to get into initial coin offerings, which is trying to mimic the stock market, or you're trying to get into DeFi, or decentralized finance, which is trying to mimic the fixed income market, we're really seeing crypto go beyond maybe its core use case, which is transactions, financial empowerment, and a savings technology.
Man, so much signal. I know that clip went a little longer than usual. It's usually like 2 minutes, but I wanted that whole thing to play out because, again, first and foremost, the Bitcoin signal and something that we say on this show all the time is spreading out there on mainstream or legacy media. And it's almost fitting, you know, Nico isn't here. He's going to do an NBC interview and, again, further spreading that Bitcoin signal. But I think Nick made very great points in that. And one of the first one is separating, and we said this yesterday, I think it was Monday, where we covered the Marty Bent thread in the culture and doing our best to separate Bitcoin from crypto. I think we have so many examples this year that obviously it's going to be a little, we're going to have to go through the arguments with friends and debate them and do our best to separate Bitcoin from quote unquote crypto. Or, you know, right now, even before the show, Nika was kind of joking. He's like, I think I'm going to have to do my best to differentiate the fact that BlockFi, FTX, and all these guys are not Bitcoin. But there was a few points that Nick put out there in that clip and that I've been saying on the show for a minute. I even said it yesterday, I believe. You know, there is no yield being extracted from these yield lending platforms in crypto space. Like, you are the yield, guys. They are just fractional reserve lending out there. And the fact that Nick is able to continue to push this signal on legacy media is absolutely amazing. And then just one of his other points, the breakdown in trust. I really love that they talk about this, because I've referenced this so many times about the Bitcoin white paper. I wish I had it up here, but it's literally in the first paragraph, guys. It's in the abstract as well, guys. The legacy financial system is built on trust, and they have abused our trust. And the fact that we have these crypto shitcoin gambling exchanges continuing to try to push the fiat world onto my blockchain, they are just abusing your guys' trust out there and recreating literally the monstrosities of the legacy fiat system, but in the Bitcoin space. And of course, as you guys know, Bitcoin is the only free market in the world. So this is nature healing itself, guys. Like, if you are a builder out there, please, 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 please quit trying to recreate reinventing the fiat wheel on the blockchain, on Bitcoin, because you will get wrecked. And I said in the past, you know, shitcoiners make us all look bad, but Bitcoin has a way of clearing out the garbage, and Bitcoin will revitalize and recreate business and innovate, and we will innovate on these products. So again, guys, just do your best to not recreate the legacy fiat system on Bitcoin, because you will get wrecked, and you will wreck your consumers and the people you're supposedly out there helping. But last point, I hope you guys caught the very end of Nick Bhatia's little rip, where he explains in a very short sentence Bitcoin's core use cases: transactions, financial empowerment, and a savings technology, guys. We come out here every single day to try to spread these same ideas, and there's so much signal in that Nick Bhatia clip that I had to play the whole thing. You know, the Bitcoin message is heading mainstream. And I said it in the beginning, it is our meme world and everyone else is just living in it, guys. You need to do your best out there to spread the signal to the people that are awake, that are awakening, because Bitcoin is restoring trust. And to that point, we did see BlockFi blow up. And, you know, the influence out there are not doing their due diligence, and they're leading their listeners to the slaughterhouse. But hey, you already know the soundboard.
Get on board.
So, guys, stay humble, stack sats. It's a very simple message. Anyways, Rustin, jump in. What are your thoughts on that clip? And we will move into the culture.
First off, Rustin's here. Bang, bang. All right. So let's go back. You were talking about price. We got the numbers. So look at the price. Yes, you've got an amazing buying opportunity, because when Bitcoin was at 69K, I believe there are now less Bitcoin on exchanges and the hash rate is like multitudes higher. So ignore the noise. Nick Bhatia, of course, he's going to know rehypothecation. The dude wrote Layered Money. And as you were talking about, it reminded me of Rick and Morty. When they go on vacation and they go in the sauna and they're in there. Now, we want to get our toxicity, like, we instill it in each other like iron sharpens iron. But for them, they got their toxicity removed. Or for you, you got rug pulled. Now, you got rugged. So you are the yield. All right. Recognize that. And then how do we find we got to fix the trust in the system? No, remove trust. That is the entire point. It's in the white paper. Opti nailed it. Take self-responsibility. As Svetsky said, Bitcoin is responsibility, go up technology, and that's just amazing, incredible stuff.
I love it, bro. I love it. Yeah. Rustin on his toes for the first segment. Beautiful, beautiful. All right, guys, we're going to jump into the culture. So I don't throw Rustin to the wolves yet. I'll ease him in, but let's get to that culture, guys.
The Daily Culture.
brought to you by SwanBitcoin.com. Swan is the best way to build your Bitcoin stack with automated Bitcoin savings plans and instant purchases, serving clients of any size from $10 to $10 million. We love Swan because they incentivize self-custody and dollar cost averaging. What are you waiting for? Visit SwanBitcoin.com today.
All right, boys and girls, I am pretty sure that we are plugging the BitBlock Boom Conference here, so I'm going to do this justice. Nika did not tell me to do this yet, so hey, forgive me, bro. But we will be at BitBlock Boom, guys. This is this is where me and Nico met for the first time in person. This is one of those small, low-key, Bitcoin-only conferences, as they say. This is not a shitcoin NFT or blockchain event. We talk about Bitcoin, and more Bitcoin, and that's going to be August 24th, 25th, 26th, and 27th. 2023, guys. So definitely want to get out there. We will see you guys in Austin. It's going to be awesome. Nico and I will be in the flesh. Maybe even Rustin will be there, and we can all do this in person in a few months. Anyways, before we go on, shouts out to Corey. I think this is a great, great article. He put it in a tweet thread, and I think this is something that Nico and I talk about a lot on this show. Nico has a way of putting it in a meme. He says we need to innovate before they are able to regulate. And I think everyone out there as Bitcoiners, we all understand one thing. It's kind of like the unspoken thing over here as Bitcoiners is we need to get Bitcoin in as many hands as possible so that we are a huge mass of Bitcoiners out there and not easily controlled and corralled. So this is why we come out here every single day to push that Bitcoin message. This is why we tell you guys to orange pill everyone. If you have that sense that this person is a freedom-minded person, do your part and have you orange pilled someone today, guys. Bitcoin is love. Bitcoin is hope. And people out there need Bitcoin. I am more convinced of that than ever. Anyways, let's get into this article. Again, guys, I'm going to read the article in full because I think Corey did a great job, and I think this is a message that you guys will love. If you haven't read this yet, I am reading this for you right now. So the article is titled, "The Race to Avoid the War. Let us proceed together, united, yet decentralized, and win this race for one and all so that we may never have to fight the war. We Bitcoiners are in a race, perhaps the most important race we will ever run. We are racing against time to drive the adoption of Bitcoin as fast as we can. We are racing toward a future in which the U.S. government never coordinates a concerted attack against Bitcoin and Bitcoiners. This is a race to avoid a war. Let's be clear. Bitcoin is going to win no matter what. Bitcoin is the best money we've ever had. Its properties were purpose-built to enable it to function as the primary store of value, medium of exchange, and unit of account for every human and machine on planet Earth. It is designed to withstand and survive all attacks, and in fact, it gets stronger when challenged. Bitcoin is replacing money that is already in the process of collapse, money that would collapse independently of Bitcoin's existence. Bitcoin is engineered to be the orderly, anti-fragile alternative to a chaotic collapse. How far into the future does Bitcoin victory reside as money for all of this world? It could be as soon as the 2030s, but only if we sprint hard. And what if we lose this race? Although Bitcoin is destined to win, if we lose the race to avoid the war, victory will be far more costly. This would be the long way and the hard way. Instead of a sprint to a bright orange future, we would be embroiled in a long, hard confrontation with a government desperate to hold on to the power of the monetary printing press. If we lose the race, the long, hard path will be a war in which hundreds of millions of people will suffer the decivilizing and impoverishing effects of hyperinflation. So for those of us alive, for those of us ready and able now, it is vitally important to run this race as well as possible. And how do we do this? First, we drive adoption forward. Nearly 3 years ago at Swan, they started on the mission to recruit the next 10 million Bitcoiners, the intransigent minority, people who store a meaningful amount of the net worth in the Bitcoin protocol and who understand it well enough to want to fight for it. We are fully committed to both of these goals, enabling Bitcoin acquisition and building Bitcoin comprehension. Together, these are what build the intransigent minority. Furthermore, when Bitcoiners develop privacy and scaling technology for Bitcoin, we make it substantially more challenging for anti-coiners to make the case that a war on Bitcoin is winnable. When more of us demonstrate the unmatched power of the Lightning Network in small nations, influential legislators and bankers in the U.S. take note and are far less likely to support the an adversarial strategy towards Bitcoin. When another Bitcoiner writes a book, make a video tutorial, or promote a decentralized gamified stacking movement like StackChain, they push Bitcoin that much further ahead in this race of races. When Bitcoiners excel in their fiat jobs, consistently pushing more and more of their weekly paychecks into the Bitcoin savings account, they push the number go up technology to new heights, pulling in more grassroots adoption. All of these activities move us toward the inevitable success of Bitcoin on this rational, collaborative, and peaceful yet revolutionary path. However, when you lie about Bitcoin in order to line your pockets and pump your altcoins like the VC firms Andreessen Horowitz, or attempt orange washing affinity market projects like Stacks, they make war on Bitcoin that much more likely. When you fund misinformation campaigns with millions of ill-gotten dollars, they increase the likelihood of a fight that could and should be avoided for the sake of all human civilization. And when others bury their head in the sand and pretend that gold can still do what it is proven to be able or not able to do in the modern global digital economy, they hold back others who understand the benefits of sound money, but haven't yet learned to distinguish gold from Bitcoin, a sound money that works exceptionally well in our physical and digitally global reality. Bitcoiners must stand up and call out those who actively slow Bitcoin's adoption, because they risk knocking us off of our path toward the peaceful adoption of a sound global monetary standard, which the world needs as soon as possible. And all these activities are part of our historic collaborative effort to guide civilization on the best of all possible paths. We write code, we educate, we help others, we donate, we stack, and we build, all to win the race against the war. And as Michael Saylor says, you do not want to be a martyr. You want to be a winner. So let us proceed together, united yet decentralized, and win this race once and for all, so that we may never have to fight the war again. Absolute bars, guys. I know I read more than usual, but I think it was fitting, because this is what we try to say all the time. This is what I try to elucidate and elaborate on the culture segment every single day. And I do get some flack here and there, guys, because people hit me with the Satoshi meme of, if you don't get it, I don't have time to try to convince you of it. And while I agree, not everyone has taken up the mantle, taken up the flag like Nico and Rustin and I, of being on the media front. Everyone plays their part in this Bitcoin revolution. And if you are not trying to orange pill your loved ones, your friends, and the people out there that are ready to take Bitcoin into self-custody, that are ready to put meaningful amounts of capital into Bitcoin, are you really doing your part? Do you really care about Bitcoin? And if you don't do that, guys, then you really need to check yourself and ask yourself, are you about the revolution, or are you just here about McGains? Because to me, I'm a millennial. I have bet my whole life on Bitcoin, and I want to see Bitcoin succeed. And I do not want to be a martyr. I've said it in the past. Us Bitcoiners are sacrificial lambs. And I've said it tongue-in-cheek. And even Eric Kayson said it tongue-in-cheek in Simply Bitcoin IRL. You know, we may be fucked. You know, us public-facing Bitcoiners now, hey, we may be, you know, leading ourselves to the slaughter. But if we are able to do what we believe we are doing with Bitcoin, we are literally freeing humanity from the fiat yoke for eternity, at least 100,000s of years from now, guys, hundreds or thousands of years, guys. And I've said it in the past, I don't think there's anything more honorable right now than to try to guide the world to truth, try to guide the world to sound money, because the world has been robbed by fiat for far too long. And now we have a tool to take our power back, to take our lives back, to take our families back, and build on a strong monetary network, a sound monetary network, and build a civilization, a future, a society that we all want to live in, and not just a few elites at the top, guys. So this is the mission, guys. Get on the mission. The bright orange future will not come easily. There will be uphill battles, but I couldn't think of anything more important than for us to try to get the Bitcoin signal out there for the world. So, yeah, Anyrug. As Anyrug said, someone's got to do it. Let's go. So, anyways, Rustin, what are your thoughts? Did you get some inspiration on this? What you got written down over there, bro?
No, I love it. I love the intransigent minority. You want it to become too politically consequential to be in opposition to Bitcoin. And we're kind of moving in that direction. You see, it is a kind of a bipartisan it's support from both aisles, because it is a neutral technology. And as that grows and becomes more robust, then neither side, anybody who opposes, and it ingrains itself in the system. There's something, I think it's called Devergé's Law. And it's these outliers, like what Corey's talking about, that eventually become part of the mainstream. And when he was talking about it, it was in political theory and how third parties will never gain enough traction to become totally relevant, because if they have anything that's in their platform of value, it will be absorbed by the other two bigger parties. Now, when Bitcoin becomes a winning issue for any politician that runs and espouses it, both sides, that will just become an issue of, you know, that'd be almost equal to neoliberals and the military-industrial complex. But this is in a positive form when it comes to Bitcoin and sound money and freedom. And we want to put off that confrontation. We know what the main enemy is, like IMF, U.S. government, etc. And when we think about it, I think Mike Hobart wrote the recent piece, Bitcoin will not destroy the U.S. dollar or fiat. And that got me thinking of James Rickard's Currency Wars. And at the end, he talks about this modern gold theory. And what you have is, when you go back to the gold standard, you have this self-rebalancing system between those who had more gold and, depending on their business cycle, who needed to take out interest and loans. And you have this global system that recalibrates. But through Bitcoin, if you just plug it in that place, it is an instantaneous rebalancing system globally, internationally. It's amazing. And like you and Corey were talking about, anyone that takes part in this system is a humanitarian, because you're benefiting everyone else that takes part in the system. So those in emerging markets that are trying to get by, an American, you know, that's maybe just stacking a few sats, that benefits those people down in Honduras or wherever it may be. So it's incredible. It's why we're on the mission. We'll keep growing. We'll keep fighting. And yeah.
Yeah, bro. I couldn't agree more. And you kind of reminded me of Eric Kayson came on Simply Bitcoin IRL. And I made it into like a short for YouTube because I thought it was such a good point. And it, obviously, again, we laugh about this kind of stuff because it's really like we're really in clown world. But anyway, Eric Kayson said basically like the fact that Bitcoiners are called crazy, that we're considered criminals, that we are the crazy ones because all we want is a money that is not debased. It's like you really got to, you know, think about what is going on in clown world, guys. We've said it on the show multiple times. We are trying to ask a few fundamental questions. Why are we being forced to use a money that is designed to lose value? Why are we being forced to use a money that literally robs from us? And why is a small cabal of people telling us who we can and can't interact with our money? These are fundamental questions that I think we can ask everyone, and they will, you know, at least start to open up to the orange pill. Anyways, Rustin, let's get into your debut, bro. Are you ready? Let's go.
The Daily News.
Brought to you by BitBox 2 Bitcoin Only Edition, a hardware wallet by Shift Crypto, crypto-like cryptography. It's secure, it's open source, and it's so easy your mom can set it up. Self-custody is the revolution, and the BitBox makes it simple. Do not leave your Bitcoin on an exchange. Order a BitBox today. Are you there, Rustin? Your audio is off right now.
There we go. Screen shared. There you go. Got that? Let's get into it. And one of my first questions is, Jesus, Opti, what did you do to Lagarde? Here we are, European Central Bank. The apparent stabilization of Bitcoin's value is likely to be an artificially induced last gasp before the crypto asset embarks on a road to irrelevance. Coming from the European Central Bank, which is headed by a felon. So yeah, very credible. Let's go ahead and take a look at it. Bitcoin's Last Stand by Ulrich Bentzel and Jürgen Schaft. Oh, okay. Here we go. Oh man, this is gonna just get you burning, Opti. You're gonna love this. All right. The value of Bitcoin peaked at USD 69K in November before falling to USD 17K by June 22. Since then, the value has fluctuated around USD 20K For Bitcoin proponents, the seeming stabilization signals a breather on the way to new heights. More likely, however, it is an artificially induced gasp before the road to irrelevance. These freaking morons. Bitcoin was created to overcome the existing monetary and financial system. In 2008, the pseudonymous Satoshi Nakamoto published the concept. Since then, Bitcoin has been marketed as a global decentralized digital currency. However, Bitcoin's conceptual design and technological shortcomings make it questionable as a means of payment. Real Bitcoin transactions are cumbersome, slow, and expensive. Have you ever used the Lightning Network? Bitcoin has never been used to any significant extent for legal real-world transactions. We'll get into that in a minute. Also, please see Lebanon. That's how they're surviving. Bitcoin is also not suitable as an investment. Nope, no one's made money off Bitcoin for the last decade. It does not generate cash flow like real estate or dividends like equities, cannot be used productively like commodities, though it has been described as digital property, which is a commodity, or provide social benefits like gold, that shiny rock that you put in front of your door so it doesn't close. In July, FASB called for crypto assets and markets to be subject to effective regulation and supervision the risks they pose. However, legislation on crypto assets has sometimes been slow to ratify in recent years, and implementation often lags behind. Moreover, the different jurisdictions are not proceeding at the same pace and with the same ambition. While the EU has agreed in a comprehensive regulatory package, you guys know about MiCA, the U.S. has not been able to find coherent ground rules. Since Bitcoin is based on a new technology, DLT/blockchain, you mean time chain, you jackass, it would have a high transformation potential. Firstly, these technologies have so far created limited value for society, no matter how great the expectations for the future. Secondly, the use of a promising technology is not a sufficient condition for an added value of a product based on it. So where does fiat's value come from? Faith in and trust, and it's diminishing every fucking day. It's almost worth noting that the Bitcoin system is an unprecedented polluter. Oh, here we go. This guy's probably with Greenpeace. First, it consumes energy on the scale of entire economies. Bitcoin mining is So it consumes energy on a scale of entire economies, but it has no value or purpose. So where is this energy coming from, and why, and why did the market choose to use it? You guys are retarded. All right, here we go. Bitcoin mining is estimated to consume electricity per year comparable to Austria. Second, it produces mountains of hardware waste. One Bitcoin... This is so just... I can't even... One Bitcoin transaction consumes hardware comparable to the hardware of two smartphones. Okay, so how many millions of transactions over the past, 13 years of Bitcoin... Shouldn't there be phones stacked up to the moon or some shit like that? The entire Bitcoin system generates as much e-waste as the entire Netherlands. Well, the Netherlands isn't that big, so this inefficiency of the system is not a flaw, but a feature. It is one of the peculiarities to guarantee the integrity of the compromised system. The strongest computing network on the planet. And, as we know, we've had many guests on the show with mining and how... hash boards and those things are recycled and used and casings all over the place for miners. Since Bitcoin appears to be neither suitable as a payment system nor as a form of investment, it should be treated as neither in regulatory terms and thus should not be legitimized. Similarly, the financial industry should be wary of the long-term damage of promoting Bitcoin investments, despite short-term profits they can make even without their skin in the game. It's funny they're trying to take some of our words here. The negative impact on the customer relations and the reputational damage to the entire industry could be enormous once Bitcoin investors will have made further losses. Ooh, hey, we like Goblin Town. That's a pay raise. We get more sats per cuck bucks. That's good for us. Now, let's go back. Now, Opti, you may not have to reach out to old Christine Lazard and her forked tongue and her limber legs, because the author's here. Ulrich Bincel. I will just leave that here so everybody knows the conflict of interest. Thank you, baseload. All right, let's check out Ulrich Bincel. Division, current position, director general, email, ECB, Europa. Okay. So what I'm getting at is I was wondering, did this guy just ride the short bus? Did he take a blow to the head? No, he's a shit coiner. Here we go. Central Bank Digital Currency, Ulrik Bentzel, Fabio Panetta, Ignacio Taro. So, all the same things you could hear out of a typical pay-for-propaganda Greenpeace article, that's what you just got from the ECB. And if this is all you have to throw at Bitcoin, you guys are just totally fucked. You're going to get run over. And take a look at this. We got some good news. Brazil says sit and spin, ECB approves a bill regulating the use of Bitcoin as payment. Let's dig into it. Voted on Tuesday evening in Brasilia, the country's capital, the new rules recognize Bitcoin as a digital representation of value that can be used as a means of payment and as an investment asset in the South. The bill applies broadly to a sector which it calls virtual assets, now only needs the president's signature to become law. It does not make Bitcoin or any cryptocurrency illegal tender in the country. The bill tasks the executive branch with selecting government bodies to oversee the market. The expectation is that the Central Bank of Brazil will be in charge when Bitcoin is used as payment, while the country's SEC will be the watchdog when it is used as an investment asset. Both the BCB and CVM, along with the Federal Tax Authority, help lawmakers craft the overhaul legislation. Let's go ahead and get down here. A big miss from Tuesday's vote was the rejection of a clause that sought to cut some state and federal taxes on purchases of Bitcoin mining machines. So they were looking for some tax incentives for miners. While the text was quite restrictive, the benefit would only apply to operations using renewable energy sources. It was apparently not enough to be approved. So that kind of similar to the moratorium, even except you can mine, there's just no tax incentives there. Now let's go into this piece. Once passed into law, Brazilians can use Bitcoin as a payment method, while digital assets will be recognized as an investment asset class, as securities, as we've been saying for months and months and years. Under the bill, exchanges are required, and this is a good thing, to observe specific rules to be allowed access to the Brazilian market. For example, processes to segregate users' funds, so assets from liabilities. The rules also require service providers gain approval at the federal level. So we do have some other things coming into play with the checks and balances and how everything does need to go through the federal government in Brazil. And we also have this change of power going on. As we can see, it's going to need the signature of the president. The election result is marred in controversy with Bolsonaro supporters alleging electoral fraud. You guys have probably seen those videos all over the place. Earlier this year, before winning the election, Da Silva acknowledged the expansion of cryptocurrencies in Brazil to local media. He added that a framework needs to be in place to harmonize domestic practices with international standards, particularly in respect of nefarious activities. So this is an establishment statement regarding Bitcoin or crypto. So we get that Lula Da Silva is, you know, we want to protect against money laundering and terrorism, etc. Well, they got some crazy things going on in the streets they might want to keep an eye on rather than that. And kind of going back, a little background knowledge on what's been going on in Brazil. This from Samuel Juan at Crypto Slate from April 14th. So we saw the goal of the bill was to establish an agency to oversee cryptocurrency. And as we get here, now at this time, this was just a few months ago, and we had Honduras announced it would accept Bitcoin as legal tender in the Honduras Prospera Special Economic Zone. The hub represents a new model for economic development, which intends to attract capital and innovation to the region. Now, why Latin America and South America? Many Latin American countries suffer from runaway inflation, the prime example being Venezuela, which saw a 350,000% peak in 2019. However, inflation has been trending down over the last 12 months, dropping from 2,940% in April to 284% in March. Bitcoin is gaining ground as a movement to democratize finance. And when faced with difficult living conditions, as often seen in Latin America, it's no wonder locals seek alternatives to the status quo. Check your monetary privilege, you ECB douchebags.
Oh man! Oh man!
Oh, what were your thoughts? Love it!
Oh
love
man!
It, love it!
Oh man! Oh man! Oh, man.
Let's go back before we throw Nico Jones on the case. First and foremost, as I tweeted this morning on the Simply Bitcoin Twitter account, man, the ECB calling Bitcoin irrelevant is just pure cope and projection. We know, at least as Bitcoiners, that Bitcoin makes central banks irrelevant, and they are on the road to irrelevant. So as we've been covering on the show for a long time, they are obviously projecting what they know to be true about themselves. I think Nico said that almost on every single show that we talk about this. But again, I've been saying this on the show all the time as well. The low-hanging fruit arguments that they use, they will continue to use. What was their argument for this? Bitcoin won't be payments. Maybe an investment. It's energy wasteful. But my question is a very simple one. If Bitcoin is so irrelevant, then why do you feel the need to write an article denouncing it, guys? It's obviously that they're scared that Bitcoin has taken away their power. It's taken away the power of the money printer, and they have to do whatever they can to dissuade the masses out there from becoming Bitcoiners, because Bitcoiners eat their lunch. And I love that you added the Brazil news on top of the ECB trying to dunk on Bitcoin, because this is just further proof that Bitcoin is not becoming irrelevant. It is becoming more relevant in time every single day, block by block. More people are adopting Bitcoin. More nations will adopt Bitcoin. And it's only a matter of time until everyone becomes a Bitcoiner. So, man, ECB, Chrissy, I'm sorry, babe, you know, better luck next time. We will continue to stack. We will continue to spread that Bitcoin signal. And Bitcoin is going to take over the world. It's only a matter of time, guys. Bitcoin is here, and they can't stop it. All they can do is put words on a paper to try to dissuade people from putting their savings, their capital, their life's work behind Bitcoin. And as I covered in the culture segment, you know, we are here doing our best to push that signal every single day. And you guys are as well. So continue to do this, guys, because they are afraid. This is a simple they are afraid moment. Anyways, we got Nico Jones on the case. What's good, bro? Did you dive in on this news yesterday, or what have you, bro? What's going on with you?
Yeah. So I think you hit the nail on the head, right? That projection idea, right? And I think that this is the case right here, right? Clearly the guys incentives are not aligned. Like, he's, you know, in charge of developing and rolling out the central bank digital currencies in Europe, but at the same time, you know, he's writing a paper basically saying that Bitcoin's days are numbered. I would say that fiat's days are numbered. But again, you know, in psychology, it's a very well-known thing. People project onto you what they think they are themselves, right? And I think that this is just a really great example of that. And they've been doing this for a minute now. The way that they describe Bitcoin also as Bitcoin is the so-called private money. It's not controlled by the public. Like, what do you think sounds more private to you? Something that, you know, this elite bureaucratic group in DC or the head of anywhere of the central banks gets to dictate the monetary policy behind closed doors, or Bitcoin's monetary policy is set in stone? You know, it's public. Anybody could verify the supply anytime they want. They could just have it run their own node. In fact, anybody could issue more Bitcoin if they're willing to invest in the infrastructure to mine it, right? So what sounds more public and what sounds more private to you? But again, they're projecting onto us what it is they believe they are themselves. And I just think that this is desperation. I think of the meme, it's afraid from Starship Troopers. That's what I'm visualizing. When I saw that, I'm like, they're terrified. You know, this is free publicity. They're literally shining the light on what's going on. And yeah, and I fundamentally believe it's because they're scared. And, you know, the fact is that Bitcoin just has better incentives than anything that they can come up with. Central bank digital currencies don't solve the inflation problem. They don't solve the debasement problem. And they never talk about that, right? They always talk about the more efficient means of payment and this and this and that, but they never talk about the fact that Bitcoin is just better. Your purchasing power isn't going to be inflated away. In fact, it's going to increase over time. And they can't match that. They're always going to want to control it. And they're always going to want to debase it. And that's just the reality. Look, I like the Brazil news. I think it's cool. But I am very wary of governments, right? I think on a on a smaller scale level, right? It's not so much about what the government of Brazil allows the Brazilian people to do. It's about whether individuals in Brazil are adopting Bitcoin. And that's a very, very different question. But I do think it's a good headline, right? Like, I think it's a great headline, right? It's like, you know, Brazil to allow payments, you know, like Bitcoin doesn't need anybody to allow it. Like, it is peer-to-peer, right? It's a matter of, will vendors accept it? You know, is the guy on the street, you know, selling his tacos on the street, whatever, is he accepting Bitcoin? Like, that is how you actually change things, right? It's about individuals adopting Bitcoin. It's about individuals accepting Bitcoin. And that is how, you know, that's how you effectuate change, right? But I think it's bullish news overall and bullish news coming out of the ECB. I'm smelling that desperation, man. I'm smelling it from a mile away. And they continue to get ratioed, right? Our mematics are better than theirs. They have no chance at the meme game. And if you want to conquer the internet, if you want to be popular on the internet, if you want to go viral on the internet, mematics are very, very important. And I don't think central banks will ever be able to match Bitcoin's mematics, man. And that's just a fact.
It's our meme world and everyone is just living in it. And on that note, Nico, let's get into the meme review.
The Daily Meme Review.
Brought to you by KaboomRax. I get this question all the time. Nico, where should I buy Bitcoin miners? The answer is KaboomRax. It's the best place to buy Bitcoin miners. That's where you're going to find the best deals and the best prices. Start your mining utopia today. To check out their racks, you got to go to t.me/KaboomRax. Join their Telegram group and start your mining journey today. KaboomRax.
All right, boys and girls, this is the meme review. And tweets are the bullets and memes are the artillery. We are in an information war and you guys are the frontline soldiers. And as Nico just said at the end of the news segment, guys, we have truth on our side and we have the best memes and the best meme army. So take up your mantle, take up your Photoshop and start memeing these people to death because they cannot handle the truth and we have the truth on our sides. And of course, guys, drop your meme review score in the chat once we are done so that we can cover your meme review score on the show. All right, first one. Shouts out to our buddy, 21JCLP. Continue to tag me in these memes, bro, and I will continue to put them on the show. And it's very fitting on what we've been talking about on today's show. Bitcoin is a peaceful revolution worth fighting for. And I don't know where this cardboard protesting sign is from, but it makes our point for us. Defund the state and buy Bitcoin. All the atrocities of the 20th century, the 21st century, are backed by the fiat money printer, by governments being able to print as much money as possible to continue these perpetual wars. Defund them by taking your money back and saving in Bitcoin, guys. It's a very simple message. This next one, again, on that note, if you know, you know. Shouts out to Durgigi. He puts a little emoji hand over his face. And this is a SpongeBob meme. And he goes, Squidward going to Patrick, everything is war and power projection. And Patrick goes, what do you mean everything? And then SpongeBob comes and goes, it means he thinks zero sum. And then Squidward goes, no, it doesn't. And then Patrick goes, symbiosis. And then SpongeBob goes, stop it, Patrick. You're scaring him. Guys, if you know, you know. All right. On that note, guys, we definitely covered it. I at least touched on it in the beginning in the numbers segment. I know you guys are seeing the legacy media and how they are still doing their best to give SBF cover fire. Well, we got a bunch of NPCs, and it's literally every mainstream journalist, media company. We got Ford, CNN, Vice, Political, ABC News, NBC, MSNBC, Wall Street Journal. Did I say Forbes? PBS, whatever. Anyways, all the NPCs goes, how unfortunate, SBF philanthropic goals will never be realized. Yeah, little do they mention that he was robbing his customers in one of the biggest Ponzi's in the world. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Shouts out to our friend Bitcoin Meme Hub. And it's a screenshot of Twitter current, what do they call it? The trending topics. And he goes, probably nothing, dot, dot, dot. And he goes, business and finance trending, one BTC with 128K tweets. And I don't know if you guys know the metrics over here, but look, you can kind of see some of these, what these trending tweets are in the numbers, 64.5K over there. A lot of people talking about one Bitcoin. So it's going to continue to go up. This next one, shouts out to our buddy White Rabbit. I got you on the show yesterday. We're adding you again. So current move, we got Homer. Hold on, let me let this go. You guys are seeing the end of it. For those in the spaces, one second. We got Homer as a Bitcoiner, and we got a spider as a shitcoin, and then it goes under a cardboard box, and he picks up the cardboard box, and it's Luna, Voyager, Celsius, FTX, BlockFi, all falling on those Bitcoiners. And yes, this is why the market is so wrecked, because shitcoiners make us all look bad. And this next one, shouts out to BJ Dichter, doing awesome things out there for Honk for Freedom. Freedom Convoy in Canada. And I really like this it's a saying, but it's also a meme. And this is just I thought it was a really good cherry on top for everything that we said on today's show. And while Bitcoin memers and the Bitcoin signal is so powerful, it's because we have truth on our side. And as BJ said, and it's a quote from Elvis Presley, he goes, truth is like the sun. You can shut it out for a time, but it ain't going away. And I really like this little picture that he used as the meme. It's like barbed wire. And it's one little happy individual breaking away from the collective ideology that you should be allowed to be robbed for the rest of humanity. Anyways, let me see. What is my meme review score for the day? I told you I got the 99 signs you might be a Bitcoin maxi. And I'm glad this is still on my desk because I didn't prepare my meme review score. But I have it right here. Sign 73. You dream of working for a Bitcoin-only company or currently work for one. Hey, yo, let's go. That was a good
one.
All right. Well, hey, we're living the dream.
Amen to that. Rustin, what do you give those meme scores?
All right, since we both referenced him this week on Wake Up Call and Simply Bitcoin, and an OG might have been the first guy to describe Bitcoin, a little Buckminster Fuller.
Ooh.
Hey, let's go.
Very nice. The critical path. I'm going to give it this Aqua Reef Old Spice deodorant.
Is it used or new?
Oh, it's used. It's used.
Dirty.
It's used.
All right, we got some meme review scores in here.
Essence of Nico.
The first one is by Z Logic, and he goes, Lagarde is the meme. Yes, she is. This next one by Brandon, and he goes, I give those memes a homemade cheeseburger. Amazing. Absolutely sounds delicious. I might have to get myself one after the show today. And this next one, Bitcoin for Canadians, he goes, I score those memes the taste of freedom. What's that taste like? I'm wondering what those taste like. Anyway,
check out Andres.
This next one is by Yellow, and he says those memes get a job at Swan. He was very perplexed, Nico, yesterday. When you announced, or actually I told him that you got the job at Swan, he's like, interesting, very interesting. So watch out for a meme out there. We shall see. Anyways, Andres, what's up, bro? And he goes, I give the memes a hinge date with Christine Lagarde. Oh man. All right. Last meme so far, meme review score so far is Bushmaster. And he goes, I score all the Nico's nails in the head since Monday. All right. Oh, wait. There's another one. Okay, cool. A Mayorga, he goes, I give those memes analyzing fold why we provide value in fiat to just receive nuts back in sats for rewards. Ooh, shot fired. Everyone's spicy. Spicy.
Warm up the guns.
Spicy.
Okay. All right, guys. Well, all right. One more.
We'll give one more.
This last one is by Global Nonsense. And he goes, I give those memes a Chinese revolution.
Which one?
Oof.
Not all Tenement right, Square. Not that
all
one.
All right, guys. You already know. Shouts out to our sponsor. Represent. We wear their comfy hoodies. Actually, let's, Rustin, show that one. We haven't showed that one on the show yet. Simply Bitcoin represents. Show the back. Oh, that's the shirt. Or is that the hoodie? The shirt. Okay. That one's dope. You guys need to go check that out. And any rug, he was asking me about the BK hats, bro. Represent has the Simply Bitcoin hats. Go check them out, bro. And I'll be rocking one soon on the show. Just give me a moment. Anyways, guys, we appreciate everyone. I hope you enjoyed the show. Oh yeah, oh yeah. I have it over here. Hold on, Nico. Hold it down for a moment. Hold it down.
Also,
isn't it part of the software release? Anyway,
it is part of the software release. Oh, okay. You changed it up.
I haven't done it yet.
You changed it up on me, bro. You changed it up.
I haven't. You're changing it up on me, bro. He comes in and takes over and ruins everything for us. Oh my god. Look at this guy. All right, guys. Hold on. We're not done. We have one last segment, and it is a software release, guys. Actually, I'm pretty sure it was Andres that pointed this out. We are definitely going to cover it. So here we go.
Bitcoin software release.
Brought to you by CipherSafe. Don't be that person that loses their Bitcoin seed due to fire damage, water damage, dog attacks. Back up your generational Bitcoin wealth on Steel. And there's no better place to do it than the Cypher Grid by CipherSafe. And now check out their new Bitcoin art, the Bitcoin Rulux. Triangle only on CipherSafe.io.
All right, here we go. Yeah, Nico, I just realized I did mix it up on you.
I was like, okay, are we doing this one first?
Let's go. All right, guys. So the today software release, this is a pretty big one. It's Bitcoin Core version 24.0. As you can see on the screen, guys, new options for transaction replacement policies, peer-to-peer network changes, and more. This is a pretty big one. I think the biggest and the most contentious upgrade was this mempool full RBF. Guys, I'm not going to read the whole breakdown, but we do have it in the description. If you want to catch up on what happened with this latest update, by all means, go check it out. But One point before we move on, guys, as we tell you all the time when it comes to upgrading your Bitcoin software, do not rush out there and upgrade this yet. If you don't feel you need to, give it some time. I would recommend giving it a little space before you go run out there with your full stack and upgrade your Bitcoin Core client. Obviously, it seems like it's doing really well, but hey, I am going to wait a little bit before I upgrade my node. So that's just what I'd recommend people do as well. Give it a little time.
Boom.
Anyways, Nico, what's the last thing we do over here? I think we're going to thank, wait, before we go, Nico. Oh, this is what, see, this guy's a professional. We're on the audio only, guys. Check out all our podcast links. We are on Anchor, Spotify, Apple, and we are a part of the Value for Value economy on the Fountain app. I will get you guys your links on on Friday. Nico, you're so good. Also, check out our Simply Bitcoin Telegram group, guys. t.me/SimplyBitcoinTV. Go hang out with all of our friends over there. Drop me memes in there. There's really good conversation in there as well. And of course, go check out Simply Bitcoin Unfiltered, simplybitcoin.news. We are continuing to give you guys the show in written form. And shouts out to our boy, Rustin. He's actually doing more clips now. But we got Zach and we got Wine and we got Paul. And I'm still going to make sure that Nika drops an article for you guys soon. Because we need that Nika Jones rant in written form. Anyways, guys, thank you guys so much. Thanks for Rustin. This is his first segment. We held it down pretty good. We still had Nico come in here, though. He's the consummate professional. But thanks, everyone. Share the video, like the video, subscribe to our YouTube channel. And then, of course, we continue the convo on Spaces on Twitter. If you want to add some two sats, join us over there, guys. Thanks, everyone that hung out with us. Thanks, everyone that's always hanging out with us. And we will see you tomorrow for our normal show. Peace out, guys.